As any investor will tell you, you make money out of property when you buy, not when you sell. Yeah, that's true. But you can also buy well, but then not have a successful investment simply because you've got it in the wrong hands. I'm now talking about a property manager. It's a fact of life. I mean, as busy investors, it's nice to stay at arm's length from the tenant, which means that you need a property manager. But more to the point, how do you go about finding a good one, a good, effective property manager? Hello, I'm Kevin Turner, and in this special podcast, I'm going to deal with this subject and talk to an experienced property manager who initially, and still is, a property investor, but got into the property management business because he was dissatisfied with the quality of the property managers he was experiencing. Shannon Davis from Image Property Management joins me. Shannon, thank you very much for your time.
No worries, Kevin.
You came into the industry out of frustration because you found that you were not getting the level of service that you wanted, Shannon?
Yeah, I felt it was more of a sideline for real estate agencies, and you know, often the feedback was not there. And as I was only a bit of a beginner investor, and vacancy was my biggest concern, having to find two mortgage repayments, and I just found that there wasn't much empathy from property managers and feedback as to, you know, when you're likely to secure a tenant. And I thought the professionalism could be greatly improved.
So what were some of the frustrations you had in dealing with them? And I guess anyone listening to this will probably associate with what you're saying. You're talking there about the level of professionalism, but also the changeover in staff, things like that. Was that frustrating for you?
Yeah, I think training and changeover of staff have got a big part to play. It's often a thankless task as well. And if there's not dedicated training and resources offered, you know, there can be a bit of a revolving door, and no one seems to know your property's history or tenant's history or you know, able to communicate with you. So, yeah, that's definitely a big part of it.
The thing I find interesting talking to you is that you had a perception about the industry from the outside as an owner, as an investor. Then you're now in the industry. You're still a very active investor, of course. But did your view of the industry change from the outside to the inside? And if so, how?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot harder than you think. You're dealing with financially distressed tenants from time to time, sometimes financially distressed owners. You have to be a good negotiator. You have to be transparent. You have to be flexible. Sometimes you have a day planned and it's all changed because of a water leak or emergency maintenance situation. So there's a lot more to it than owners maybe think. And if they knew what their property management's day-to-day workflow is, maybe they would have more empathy and appreciation for the jobs that they do.
So is it harder for you than you envisaged it would be?
Yeah, definitely. I think when I first thought it would be just collecting the rent, few routine inspections, you know, things like that. But there's a lot more to making sure that the holding costs are minimised for the owner and making sure the property's working to its best intention, best efforts, and also that the tenants have a good, secure, well-maintained premises to live in and enjoy peacefully.
Do you have to remind yourself sometimes about the reasons why you did actually get into the business? You know, do you sort of look at it from the agent's view, or are you continuing to have that view from the investor?
I think I wanted to get into real estate full time. My emphasis has never been on selling property. I believe in buy and hold. So that's probably why I went this investment approach and property management approach. I continue to have empathy for the property managers and appreciate what they do. We, you know, have a staff lunch every week. We, you know, play sports together and as a social bonding and go out for each other's birthdays because I appreciate the work that they do. A property manager, if they had to never leave their desk until everything was done, put simply, they would never leave their desk. There's always another maintenance request, or, you know, can, you know, a lease renewal that you're chasing up, or, you know, can these people get a pet, you know, after, or move someone else in as an approved applicant. There's always something to do.
That's a very good point you raise, and I think looking at it from the investor's perspective, there's always problems going wrong, and that's why the communication has to be very good between the agent or the managing agent and the investor, because the investor doesn't see the fact that, as you just said, there's always something on the desk that needs to be done. So that level of communication is pretty important, Shannon.
Oh, hugely important. And a good property manager, they have good time management. They can prioritise. they're organised and they're consistent and systematic the way they work, you know. And most importantly, though, they have empathy for their clients, both the tenants and the owners. There's too much danger of being pro-tenant or too much danger of being pro-owner. It's actually a balancing act, and the good property managers get it right.
And they do get it right, do you think?
Oh, definitely. If you're too pro-owner, you're working outside the legislation, and that's only going to lead to, you know, one thing, really, and you're non-compliant with your license obligations, and it's not the best, most effective way to manage a property, having irate tenants. If you're too pro-tenant, there are the typical responses, oh, they're a good tenant, you know, we should leave them alone sort of thing, and maybe too friendly or familiar, then you're not working for the owner and their best interest, and that's a big danger as well.
As an owner, how can I tell if my agent is becoming pro-tenant? You said there, you know, the language will be, oh, they're good tenants, we shouldn't raise their rent, or we need to do this for them. Is that the kind of feedback I should be looking for, or are there some other elements, like, you know, lease terms and so on?
Yeah, I think when they're getting too familiar, they won't want disruption. They've got it quite easy. This property's looking after itself, maybe, and if they don't raise rents and don't enforce a new fixed term lease, then they can make their job a little bit easier. But it's not doing the best thing for the owner, because inflation happens every year, rates go up every year, insurance goes up every year, and you need the property working at its best optimal level. Just because a person's a good tenant, if they're not willing to pay a market rent, then to me, they're not a good tenant.
You said earlier that property managers will always have tasks on their desk, and that's probably very true. But how should I be judging them in terms of how quickly they respond?
Yeah, I think same-day communication is paramount in my organisation. If it comes late in the day, then you have to allow for it to be replied to in the morning after, but there's nothing worse than a problem than a delayed problem. So good prompt communication is essential. Otherwise, the owner is thinking the worst, and their imagination runs off with them, and they're thinking the worst case scenario, and you're just making your customers angry.
Yeah, I guess this raises another point too, and that is about communication, and the good property managers will give you the news, not always the bad news, but will just tell you exactly what the situation is, Shannon?
Yeah, definitely. No one's been helped by being lied to or having things covered up, so they can be the bearer of, unfortunately, you know, the feedback might not be positive from an open home, but you need to overcome the objections. And the best way to overcome the objection usually is the rent. It might not be able to get that rent anymore because you might have not kept up the maintenance, or things may have changed. There might be increasing supply, or it's at the wrong time of year for that particular property. So, therefore, the property manager passes it on, and they shouldn't be. You should not shoot the messenger if they're just being the bearer of real news.
I've had a situation personally where we had a very good property manager. That property manager left, and we then found out that the company, in fact, wasn't all that good. Is that a fairly common occurrence where you might get one, but you won't get both?
Yeah, I think the culture of the company has a really good part to play, because they might leave. They might change careers, they might have a baby, or and then you're with the company but not the property manager that you're attracted to in the beginning. But good companies tend to attract good property managers, and if you work in one of those places that puts the training and resources into their property management department and makes it a good place to work, then, you know, that'll attract the better talent in the industry. No one wants to work at a place where there's lots of complaints and low morale.
Shannon, is it a reasonable question from an investor to a potential property manager to say, tell me about your training, I want to know about your company before I'll give you this property to manage?
Yeah, definitely. I think there are a lot of companies there that want the property management, but they haven't devoted much time or to it as well. So I think it's a very valid question as to what training they're doing to sharpen the tools. It changes and evolves over time. You wouldn't believe it, Kevin. There's still agents out there that are handing over keys.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's almost unthinkable in this day and age in terms of the liability there. I want to round this chat out, Shannon, if I could, by getting you to give us a description of the different styles of management that an investor might come up against, because there are different styles. There's portfolio and there's task management. Can you just explain to me the differences and what we should be aware about each of those styles?
Yeah, portfolio management is one person in charge of everything with that property. So from maintenance to lettings to routine inspections and the lease renewals, the whole lot, and it's one point of communication. Task-based is more people doing what they're good at. Perhaps the sales-oriented people are doing the lettings and people that are more systematic maybe doing the routines. The pros of portfolio is one point of communication and having that rapport with the person. People still prefer phone calls rather than just emails and text messages. So there is a bit of relationship that develops there. With task, maybe people are better at what they're doing. And it's said that, you know, the letting officers are able to minimize vacancies. But also, there's the person that's in charge of, say, routine inspections, you've got to watch the burnout. And sometimes the left hand doesn't communicate with the right hand. So for us, we've chosen portfolio because we concentrate on relationships. And we find that whilst, you know, people might have better strengths and weaknesses, we prefer the relationship with the clients and having that continuity.
Very good, Shannon. It's been great talking to you. I really appreciate you giving us the depth of your experience. Shannon Davis is from Image Property Management, and this segment has been about how you can find and appoint an effective property manager. Shannon, thank you very much for your time.
No worries, Kevin. Anytime.
In our continuing series of the how-tos, this time we're going to look at how you get a good tenant into your property, because an investment property at the end of the day is really only as good as the return it gives you, and a lot of that is dependent on getting a good tenant into the property. But there are some problems with that as well. Shannon Davis from Image Property Management joins us once again. Shannon, thanks for your time.
No worries, Kevin.
There is a fine balance, isn't there, between, you know, you've got a good tenant, so therefore I want to look after them. Maybe the rent doesn't go up. And over a period of time, the return on my property is not quite what it should be. It can be a bit of a problem, Shannon, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of the things that we probably think about the most. When I have, you know, good tenants in my properties, I can sleep well at night. And that peace of mind is really worth a lot.
I think you've got to treat it like a business, and that's really what it comes down to, and not let your heart rule when it comes to things like, you know, there should be regular rent increases, because as you have rightly pointed out, costs continue to rise.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's been a lot of debate about what's cheaper, renting or buying, but if a person is in the property and they appoint property managers, one of the things that they want done at arm's length is regular rent increases. And over time, that's going to be very important to the property's performance and minimising the holding costs and the ability of that owner to hold that property.
Let's look at some of the key points that you would go through as an investor if you were looking to get a good tenant. I've asked you to document these, and you've been kind enough to do that. Let's quickly walk through them, Shannon. The first one you say is no your demographics. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, if we're looking for a two-bedroom inner city apartment, we need to know what type of demographics move into there so that we can cater for them. It's going to have a lot to do with the performance of that property. I've had owners before insist that they want, you know, professionals and doctors and dentists and this type of person move into their property, but in reality, it was a rat's nest that needed more work put to the property for that type of demographic to be attracted to. So know what is the people that are likely to move into it so that you minimise your vacancy and get less turnover of tenants and the right match to your property.
Just on that point, on the flip side of that, if you know that that's the type of tenant you want, you should really source the type of product that's going to suit that tenant, which is really what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely. There's people that have furnished apartments where, or properties, in order to save storage, where there is no need for furnished properties. And what all they're doing is really ruining the investment.
Yep. Next point you make is 95% market rent. Explain that to me.
Yeah, this is a trick I learned from a very successful investor. He had a large portfolio. And rather than chasing every cent or maybe more, say 110% of market rent, he preferred long leases with 90% of market rent. He preferred to take a little bit of a discount in order to get their tenants to stay longer and attract more applications so that he could take the best pick out of those applications. And I've adopted that to my portfolio, and I've had very little headaches as a way of quality tenants.
So you still get regular increases, but they're always slightly below market. I think you say 90 to 95%.
Yeah, I once had 18 people at one of my homes, and the person in front of everyone mentioned, would they take more rent? And so in that way, you've got the best of both worlds. You've attracted a large amount of people to your property, but they actually put in over the asking price for the rent.
Mm. Another point you make too is to make sure that you get at least two references. And I would have thought that would be a no-brainer. Most people would do that, wouldn't they?
Well, sometimes if they're just being a little bit too quick to appoint it, you don't want a owner who's trying to offload a bad tenant or rogue tenant to you. So check the previous reference as well. Otherwise, it could be a person who's trying to offload a person who's not a good tenant to your property. So that's an important thing to check.
Okay. What's the next point?
We mentioned the right fit for the property. So if you want people to stay long-term, you know, in a smaller apartment, they're going to be singles or couples. You don't want families moving in. It's going to maybe cause problems with body corporate noise complaints. They need to be the right fit for the property. And similarly, a person in a big four-bedroom house by themselves might not be able to afford the rent. So we need to make a common-sense approach there so that we get the right tenants in for the long term.
Okay. Let's talk about leases for a moment. What's your preference? Do most tenants want a long lease or would they prefer a shorter lease?
I think most tenants would prefer to, you know, have a one-month lease if they could. But I prefer, as an investor, 12-month leases. It's getting the tenant to commit to my property. And it also means I'm not paying two lots of letting fees and two lots of vacancy every year, and that's been the best way I can get the return over 52 weeks.
Mm. The next one is a really good point. I think it falls in line with the leases, and it's something that we quite often overlook, and that is make sure that your renewals happen around about peak periods. How can you manage that process?
Yeah, it's seasonal. If you track the inquiry level every year, January and February are quite busy, being the new year, and also the end of the academic and financial year at June and July. But off every peak, what goes up must come down. There are times such as, you know, March and April and maybe September, October, where it's not the best for looking for tenants. I wouldn't want my leases expiring in those times. And sometimes you need some a little bit of imagination. Just maybe put an irregular lease, such as a 13-month or a 7-month lease, just to bring it into those peak periods.
Yeah, it's a good point because we quite often think it needs to be 6 or 12 months, but it doesn't have to be. It can be whatever we want it to be.
That's correct.
Yeah. Another good point too is make sure you keep the condition of the property up. And I guess a lot of this relies on having a good property manager who lets you know what the condition is like.
Yeah, it needs constant, you know, maintenance. Wear and tear is going to be a factor for all investors. And over time, if you see your rents diminishing, it's probably because the property is starting to suffer, and then you get less and less qualified tenants wanting to live in that property, and therefore your problems might get bigger. So it's not ideal. It does need some upkeep and maintenance, and there's improvements that come along as well. I think 20 years ago in Brisbane, perhaps we didn't have much air conditioning, but now it's standard, and the people still trying to rent out without air conditioning will suffer more vacancy.
Yeah. Okay, it's not how you live that's important. This is probably a very important point. Let's talk about this for a moment.
Yeah, definitely. it's what your tenants want. We mentioned air conditioning in the past, en suites, maybe electric garages. Some of these dishwashers, some of these are mod cons that tenants have come to want and expect in their properties. When you have an older investor who perhaps doesn't live in these ways, they see it as maybe extra or surplus to needs and really not an expenditure that's warranted. But their property performance will suffer as well.
Quite often you can find that if in fact you do put a dishwasher or an electric garage door, as you just said, onto a property, you can actually demand more rent. So it can be quite a good investment, really.
Yeah, especially when depreciation is factored in. Yeah. The extra rent, depreciation back, and a lot of that money back to you in the first year.
Now, you raise as another point here, listen to the feedback. Is this feedback coming from potential tenants as to why they don't want to get the property?
Yeah, definitely. If the property can't be rented this weekend, the next best thing is the feedback that they gave. And a good property manager, when they're putting on the shoes as they are about to leave, will ask, what did you like about this property? What you didn't like about this property? Could you live here? And they will give their chance, their feedback. The second room was too small for us, or we need an extra off-street parking, or we really wanted something with a dishwasher, and I can't cook in that kitchen, I need a gas cooker. Those are the feedback that you need in order to, A, get your rent down to a more appropriate price, or B, improve the property to accommodate those objections.
Yeah. Spirit of cooperation. What do you mean by that?
I think some poor, unsuccessful investors have a us and them mentality, and some tenants definitely have that type of mentality as well. The best results I've seen has been that spirit of cooperation where people have said, I would like to stay another 12 months, but can I get air conditioning maybe in the main bedroom?
Yes.
And they do it in that process. They pay extra rent. They get an improvement to the house. Some landlords, you know, give hampers because they've appreciated the tenant so much. That's where the best results have come from. It's not when it's us and them in a war type mentality.
Yeah, I guess the bottom line is, and you talked earlier in another podcast we did about relationships, and it is about forging a good relationship, even though, albeit it may be an arm's length relationship with a tenant, but still they've got to have a good feeling about you as the owner, otherwise they're not going to have a good feeling about the property, Shannon.
Definitely. And where that comes across is if they're going to an open home where there's really poorly maintained and obvious things that haven't been done, they're making judgments about that particular owner and therefore whether they're prepared to move into that property because they're seeing the longer view as to what would happen if they moved in. Obviously a lot of maintenance that doesn't get done and an inferior living experience.
So we certainly hope that helps you get a better tenant into your investment property because, as we've already highlighted, it's a very important part of making sure that your property portfolio performs well and profitably. Shannon Davis from Image Property Management, thanks once again for your time.
No worries, Kevin. Anytime.